he saw it as a holy quest. He wound up sort of just living a life of intense suffering and poverty. Any money that he made, he immediately spent on new materials and lost that. But the enduring, noble aspect of his life was this commitment, this fixation, this obsession to unlock the mystery of rubber.
Charles Goodyear's obsession began one auspicious day in New York. He'd always been a tinkerer, and a new miracle substance, rubber, had caught his fancy. He invented a valve for a rubber life preserver he'd seen in a New York shop. When he proudly showed the shop owner his invention, the man let Goodyear in on a secret. This new miracle substance was about to go bust.
The great flaw of this miracle substance, rubber, had been exposed, which is that when natural rubber gets hot, it melts, and when it gets cold, it turns very brittle and cracks.
That's Charlie Slack, author of Noble Obsession, Charles Goodyear, Thomas Hancock, and the Race to Unlock the Greatest Industrial Secret of the 19th Century.
So the man in the store said to Goodyear, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way to prevent this from happening.
The challenge struck a chord with Goodyear, and he set out on a quest that would consume him for the rest of his life.
It was really a terrible time for him and a terrible time for the family because, as you can imagine, they were living in poor circumstances and the house reeked of rubber and other chemicals. Goodyear himself was thrown into debtors' prisons from time to time.
Always the itinerant, Goodyear moved to Woburn, Massachusetts, where he got an offer to work out of the failing Eagle India Rubber Company. And that's when it happened.
He was in Woburn and had mixed rubber with sulfur and brought it in contact with a stove accidentally, as he put it, and came back later and found that the substance had changed. It was now impervious to heat. It was impervious to cold.
The process, called vulcanization, was a game changer. Now, as he perfected his process, a few samples of Goodyear's vulcanized rubber made their way to England and into the hands of another inventor, Thomas Hancock.
And he essentially went to his home laboratory and reverse-engineered Goodyear's invention and beat Goodyear to the English patent office by a matter of weeks.
But in June 1844, Goodyear did receive the U.S. patent for his invention. It should have made Goodyear rich. But while others made fortunes licensing his process and churning out viable products, Goodyear spent the rest of his days frittering his money away, tinkering with rubber.
Doorknobs, rubber paper, books, balloons, rubber furniture, rubber boat, you name it, and Goodyear thought that rubber was the answer.
Ironically, one thing Goodyear didn't invent is the item that his name is most closely associated with today, the automobile tire. In fairness, Goodyear was dead long before the automobile was invented.
Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company was actually used by a couple of brothers from Ohio who wanted to acknowledge Goodyear's invention, and also the Goodyear name sounded a lot like Goodrich, which was a larger and more successful rubber company at that time.
Goodyear himself never saw a profit from his invention, and he died in debt at the age of 59.
Goodyear was an obsessed man, but there was something really sort of beautiful about him as a person because he thought that this was a gift from God through him. He was very religious. It gave him this enormous, awesome strength. And lo and behold, he persevered and he did change the world.
Charles Goodyear, the man who unlocked the mysteries of rubber, which is used in everything from cars to planes, elevators to refrigerators, electrical wires to balls for kids. And none of them would have been possible without vulcanized rubber, invented right here in Woburn, Massachusetts, and patented in the U.S. 170 years ago this week. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops,